Let's go to Psalms 25. We're going to read the entire psalm this morning. Psalms 25, 22 verses. We'll be preaching out of the very first verse and then some companion verses to the first verse. So if you'll pay close attention to our opening verse, Psalms 25, we'll begin reading at verse number 1. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Psalms 25 and verse number 21. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. And to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me, and let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. These beautiful psalms, Lord, seems like in the past year, year and a half, we've all sought refuge in this book. And Lord, this is certainly true of this preacher. And it seems like where you read affects where you preach. And thank you, Lord, so for so many things that you taught me out of this wonderful book, Lord. And dear Lord, thank you for the Sunday school lesson. Thank you for the way, dear God. I think the two messages will tie together this morning. And Lord, when you do that kind of a thing, I feel like maybe you're just, Lord, putting an exclamation mark. Maybe there is a subject here, something, Lord, that you just need to do. You need to let us hear. And Lord, some things for us to do. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak through the word of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Psalms 25, 1 says this, unto thee, O Lord, notice the phrase, do I lift up my soul? Do I lift up my soul? David was a man of strong faith. He was a man who knew how to face adversity. By the way, he was a man who won more than he lost, so maybe we ought to pay attention to his life. He was also a man after God's own heart. He was a brave warrior, a benevolent king, beloved songwriter. And by the way, he was best friend to the broken, the broken. David was a good man. David was a man who had many friends, but he also had his share of enemies. He mentions them in this song. He was loved by God, hated by the devil. You know what? Sign me up for that. He also was a man who survived, listen, because of something I believe he discovered early on in his life. David was a man who knew what it meant to lift up his soul unto the Lord. You ever read a Bible phrase and it's become so familiar that you fail to think about it, to try to grasp it? Three times God allowed him to share with us, I think, this grand secret to survival in the scriptures. In Psalms 25, 1, we read, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Psalms 86, 4, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Psalms 143:8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul. I lift up my soul unto thee. Say, preacher, what does that phrase mean? To lift up your soul unto the Lord. What does that mean? And by the way, folks, we can chase this around, try to get some kind of an idea. I chase the word lifted through the Bible. We see at times God's people lifted up their eyes, and at times they lifted up their heads, and at times they lifted up their faces, they lifted up their hands, they lifted up their prayers. They even lifted up their swords at times. But what does it mean, think about this, to lift up your soul? I'd like to take Psalms 25:1 and just dissect it this morning. I think if you'll listen, you're going to learn one of the greatest secrets to the Christian life. Number one, let me give you this. This must be a personal decision. A personal decision. All three times we find it in the Bible, we find this phrase. It is preceded by a personal singular pronoun, I. David made a personal decision. He said, I'm going to do this. This is something you must choose to do. This is something that you can only do for yourself. By the way, I cannot lift my wife's soul up to the Lord. I cannot lift my children's souls up to the Lord. I love you as church members, but I cannot lift my church members' souls up unto the Lord. Can I just stop and have your attention for a minute? Let me kind of plead with you and pray that you extend grace and don't misunderstand me. I love pastoring this church, and I love being your pastor. But I think from time to time, a pastor needs to walk up and say, folks, listen to me. Be careful that you are not looking at your pastor as a substitute for God in your life. And I see a segment of our congregation. Again, folks, if you're in trouble, call me. If you have a need, call me. If you have a question, call me. If there's something I can do to be a blessing, call me. But I wonder how many times you're calling the preacher and how many times you're calling upon the Lord. And you know what? My job isn't to make you dependent upon me. My job is to encourage you to be dependent upon God. And so David learns something here. He learned something, and it worked in his life, but it was a personal decision. I can only make this decision for me. This is something I can only do for my soul. It's a personal decision that I must make, by the way, and an action that I must choose to take. I want you to again look at the verse. There's times in the Bible you'll find where God lifts up a man's soul. And there's times where, you know what? We need God to reach down and lift us up. But that's not what David is saying here. He is not saying, God, please lift me up. He's saying, I will choose to lift up my soul unto the Lord. So number one, this must be a personal decision. Number two, this must be a private encounter. You look at the first four words of Psalms 25:1, unto thee, O Lord, unto thee, singular. There can only be two at this meeting. Well, I'm giving you something. Please listen. I cannot bring anyone else with me. This is not the same as attending church. This is not the same as the assembly. Thank God for the assembly. We need the assembly. But sometimes you need a personal and private encounter with God. There can only be two at this meeting. I can't bring anyone else with me. This is confidential unto thee, O Lord. This is individual. This is sacred. This is exclusive. This is just God and me. This is us in a secret, in a separate, in a special place. This is a private encounter. I lift up my soul to the Lord. By the way, notice who I'm lifting my soul up to. That's the word for Jehovah, the self-existent one. I lift up my soul to the one who did not need me, but still wanted me. I lift up my soul to the one who loved me despite my sin. I lift up my soul to the one who purchased me with the life of his only begotten son. I lift up my soul to the Creator God. What an exciting thing. What a beautiful thing. No wonder David was able to make it through such tough times, folks. He learned to do something that we need to learn to do. So this must be a personal decision, must be a private encounter. Number three, this must be an upward endeavor. An upward endeavor. He says this at the end of that verse, do I lift up? Do I lift up? Now, folks, watch this. This is different than salvation. In case somebody's here that's not saved, I want you to understand I'm not teaching you this morning how to be saved. You know what? God was willing to come down to save me. And you know what? That brought my salvation. But for sanctification, I must be willing to go up to Him. Again, this is a personal choice. It's a private encounter, but it's an upward endeavor. I will lift up my soul. Anytime that you interact with God, it should bring you higher, not lower. He is on high. He is on high, so I must go upward. He is lifted up, so if I'm going to fellowship with Him, I must go upward. He is above, so I must go upward. This is not where I ask Him to come to me. This is a time where I choose to go to Him. Talk about Brother Moses. Isn't this just fitting in, Brother Lowen, so well? This encounter is designed to change my position, to take me out of my comfort zone, to change my environment, to make me change locations. Hey, when I needed to be saved, He came to me. But when I need to be sanctified, I now must go to Him. This is me telling Him that I will change. Listen, not asking Him to change. This encounter will raise the standards of my life, not lower them. This encounter will elevate the holiness of my life, not lower it. This encounter will lift me away from the world and away from the sin that rules here. This is a heavenly encounter, not an earthly encounter. This is me being transported to Him, not Him lowering Himself to me. That's why I love the song, I'm pressing on the, what is it? Come on. Upward way, upward way, upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Talking about David during a times of crisis in his life. Folks, if we read the closing verses, and that's why I read the entire psalm, David was going through a difficult time. He was under attack. You know what? He was discouraged. He was distressed. He was overwhelmed. And you know what he did? He said, I've learned what to do to keep from quitting. I've learned what to do when things aren't going well. I've learned what to do when it seems like the enemies are winning and surrounding me. You know what? I've learned what to do. I've learned that I can lift up my soul to the Lord. Then I want to give you this. This must be a total commitment. So it must be a personal decision, a private encounter, an upward endeavor, but it must be a total commitment. Notice this. He lifted up what? He said, I lift up my soul. My soul. Now think about that word. The word soul comes from a word that means breath. That means whatever makes us human, folks. Whatever makes us human, whatever gives us life, whatever and whoever we truly are, this is what we should be lifting up to the Lord. The first mention of the word soul in the Bible is found in the story of the creation of Adam. Think about this, Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man was gifted a soul by God. You have a soul because God gifted you that soul. The soul of man was delivered by the breath of God. I mean, that's what it says there, Genesis 2:7. When God breathed life into Adam, He breathed a soul into Adam. The soul of a man is that part of him that will never die because it is as eternal as the God that gave it. Your soul is never dying. Your soul is ever living. The soul is what separates us from the beasts of the field and from the fowls of the air. Folks, check out the rest of the creation story. He didn't give anyone else a soul. He just gave that to mankind. David did not lift up his body to the Lord. When David wanted a supernatural encounter with God, he lifted up the very part of himself that God had gifted to mankind during the creation act. David lifted up to God his very soul. Stop and think. Stop and examine this. It would be good a couple times during the message if I stopped and looked at you and asked you, have you ever lifted up your soul to the Lord? Or how long has it been since you've lifted up your soul unto the Lord? Preacher, I'm still not sure I know what that means. Well, what does it mean to lift up your soul? I believe it's that moment, folks. I don't know if words can describe it. I don't know if we can totally capture. If you've been there, you know. If you haven't, get there. It is God's likeness in me, whatever that is. We were made in the likeness of God. It's God's likeness in me encountering the one who made me in his likeness. What a moment. It is God's image in me lifted high enough to experience fellowship with it, with the creator of that image. It's my reborn spirit lifting up my eternal soul, leaving behind my earthly temple to hold an audience with the Lord, with Jehovah, with Hayah, the self-existent one. It is wanting the one who wanted me, loving the one who first loved me. It's an encounter between my triune soul. Come on, church. If you've been at Blessed Old Baptist Church, you understand it's been taught. If you've come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and if you haven't, you ought to. Because you'll know when I say the word soul what that means. It's an encounter between my triune soul and the triune God. Think about that. My soul's a trinity. It's my mind, my heart, and my will. When David lifted up his soul, think of that. He didn't leave any of those parts behind. I think you can go to the Bible and find times when people lift up their heart to the Lord. I think you can find times when they are mindful of God. I think there are times when, you know what, somebody surrenders their will to God's will. Those are all wonderful things, but David said, what an incredible thing to be able to lift all of me at once into the presence of God. When David lifted up his soul, he lifted up his mind, but not just his mind. He lifted up his heart, but not just his heart. He lifted up his will, but not just his will. When David lifted up his soul into the Lord, all of his mind, think about this, all of his heart, all of his soul was fully and utterly consumed with God's presence. When a Christian lifts up their soul, it is their mind completely, listen to what I'm going to say, it is their mind completely stayed on God the Father, their heart completely given to God the Son, their will completely surrendered to God the Spirit. I think it is the triune soul interacting intimately with the triune God. Preacher, I'm having a tough time. Can I have some time? Can I get some counsel? You sure can. But can I also, before you come, ask you to do something? Would you lift up your soul unto the Lord? I think so many times our first inclination is to go to our Facebook friends with our problems. And sometimes to even very good and spiritual and positive influences. And there certainly is a place and time for that. But man alive, are we just running to everybody but God? What causes us to be so fearful of this type of encounter, this intensity of an encounter with Almighty God? David said, when the world's going crazy, I know what to do to fix me. I can't maybe fix the world, but I can fix me. When fear seems like it just has overcome my mind and spirit and soul, when doubt creeps in, when I'm losing faith, you know what? While the rest of the world's going crazy, the Bible said that David knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. I believe we're talking about the very same thing here. Think about that. When I lift up my soul, it's my mind completely stayed on God the Father, my heart completely given to God the Son, my will completely surrendered to God the Spirit. It is God seeing me make the effort. Are you understanding this, folks? This is something he's waiting for you to do. He's waiting for me to do. So many times we sit waiting for God to come to us or for God to do something for us. Maybe it's time for us to do something for God. Think about that. It is God seeing me make the effort to come to him fully, completely, get this, and for no other reason than to want to be with him. Imagine, I want you to again say this, imagine what a blessing this is to God. Come on, you're running this crazy place. You're running this insane asylum called the world. You imagine the world's so wicked? Excuse me, the church so worldly? The average Christian so carnal? Can you just for a minute imagine God smiling when he sees a Christian who shuts out everything and sequesters himself away and says, you know what? With all of my soul, I'm going to elevate myself to him. With all of my soul, I'm going to seek an audience at the throne of grace. Imagine how pleased God is when he has all our thoughts, all our heart, all our desires stayed completely and utterly on him. David knew what this was like. Psalms 42, 1 and 2, as the heart panteth. Think about these words. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my what?
My soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? Folks, I'm telling you, there's a reason David was a man after God's own heart. It's not because he was constantly laying on his back in defeat saying, God, pick me up. Pick me up. Too many Christians just travel from one crisis to another crisis to another crisis to another crisis. And in your heart of hearts, you're just wondering, why doesn't God step in and do more for me? And I think God's saying, well, I'm where I've always been. I'm where I've always been. Hey, it's not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. I'm here. I left it written in the Bible so you could figure out how to get here. Why don't you look at my friend David? Why don't you look at my friend Moses? Why don't you look at those that were dearest to me? It wasn't just because of what I did for them. It was because of the way they were willing to come to me. They wanted me. Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. By the way, young people, you don't have to be an adult to get to this kind of a level of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think God is looking for a fifth grader. I think he's looking for a sixth grader that'll just get hungry for him. I think he's looking for a junior higher that before you get all muddled with the world, I think he's just looking for that. Early will I seek him. Early will I seek him. Think about that. He said this, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy life, loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. What happens when I lift up my soul unto the Lord? God sees that I'm there because I choose to be. I don't have to be. It was a personal decision. I'm there because I want to be. I could be other places, but I choose to be there. I'm there to meet with him. By the way, I'm there alone, just me and God. Just me and God. I'm there seeking him. God sees that I came up to him, didn't ask him to come down and save me one more time. He watched me make the effort. Listen to this. Can you imagine God looking down and watching a Christian get on their knees and make the effort to lift their soul up to him? He saw me. He saw me want him. He watched me leave behind the world. He watched me leave, enter boldly into the throne of grace. By the way, how this must please the Lord. Here comes one of my children. Come on, parents. You have grown children. They're out on their own. They got their own life. They got their own will. And maybe you get that text. I got one just about a week ago from a little girl that lives in California. And when Tabitha gets homesick, I get a text about that long, okay? And she just says, Daddy, I miss you. I know I'm where I'm supposed to be, and I know that you're where you're supposed to be, but I hate that you're not more involved in our lives. I miss you. I want to see you. Now, she knows that it just makes me want to go buy a plane ticket. I mean, come on. But I think to myself, isn't that how God feels? Where he's not always just feeling like he's a bother. I haven't heard from the kids in a while. And then you text and you get a little short Kirk text back. And sorry, been busy and we'll talk to you sometime. And I wonder if that's how God feels. He watched me make the effort to lift my soul to him. He saw me want him. I mean, I'm willing to leave the world behind. Come on now. I'm willing to check out. I'm willing to take the time. I'm willing to pay whatever price is necessary to gain an audience with him. All my mind, all my heart, all my will, all my desire. When I lift up my soul to God, I offer my soul to him as I would a sacrifice. My very soul is a sacrifice. Think of this. I think there's times when a Christian ought to lift their very eternal soul so close to God. You know what? While you're there, you say, God, this is yours. If you want it now, you can have it. If you wanted it now, you can have it. If not, restore it so I can go back and do your will, God. But one of these days, listen, you know what I hope death is? I hope it's that one more time where I lift my soul to God and God says, well, you're not going to have to do that again. I think I'll just take it. I think I'll just have you spend the rest of your time here. I lift up my soul to the God, I offer my soul to him as I would a sacrifice. I mean, think about this. For these precious moments, and they're not enough. Come on, they're not enough in anybody's life in this room. I don't think a one of you by this time in the sermon would want to stand up and testify and say, preacher, I do that enough. I do that enough. But you know what? When you get to that place and when you're in that place, the clock has no meaning there. Watch this. The world has no business there. Not in that secret, quiet place. Devices are turned off there. Attention is fully focused. Cares have been laid aside. Why? For this time, God is everything and everything is God. For this special secret time, I offer the gift of my soul to the one who gifted me a soul. Think about this. My breath comes to meet with the breather. My life seeks an audience with the way, the truth, and the life. All of my being, I come to worship before the one who's always been there, always loved me. When was the last time, this is fair to stop and ask, that you lifted up your soul unto the Lord? What are you missing by not doing it? Say, preacher, why take the time every day to shut out the world, focus only on God? Preacher, what happened to David during these wonderful secret times when he spent his life lifting up his soul unto the Lord? Well, let's go back and look at Psalms 25. When I lift up my soul, my heart is made clean. Let me just say this. Whenever you do this, it's a good cleansing time. You look in verse 6 and 7 of Psalm 25. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness. We need God's mercies, folks, for they have been ever of old. Watch this. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake. Not for my goodness' sake, Lord. For thy goodness' sake. How about verse number 11? Look down there. Psalms 25, 11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. If you go down the auditorium on this aisle, this far aisle over here on the right, as you're leaving and you look on the wall that you can't see unless you're back in that area facing in, you'll see a big map of our area. We have a ministry here called Operation Occupation. And we sectioned off our Jerusalem area into 20 mission fields, and we have families in our church adopt those mission fields and say, I'll take the gospel to every door in that mission field in this year. And folks, those of you that have been involved in that, you end up on some pretty interesting roads. Matter of fact, there's some roads that are marked down there that don't even exist. There's some roads that we thought was a road, but it's just a place for the tractor to go between two cornfields. I've gone down to some places, and by the way, I take the truck, and you better take a truck if you don't have the number of somebody that has a truck, and I remember going over here in the Bowling Green area once, just out in the boondocks, and took this road and cut through. And I am not kidding you. I'm not exaggerating. Those of you that live over there can verify this. This road will go along, and then it looks like it's turned into almost a one-lane dirt road, and then you literally come to a creek, and there is no bridge. And you push it into four-wheel drive, and you go through the creek. You know why? Because we're rednecks, and we're proud of it. That's why. You know what, folks? Watch this. I'm driving that old black truck. And by the way, I'm not out running booze. I'm not out buying drugs. I'm out soul winning. But guess what? By the time I get back, if you look at that truck, it's gotten dirty. Jesus talked about washing the disciples' feet. Remember that last thing that he did before he left the upper room, headed to Gethsemane where he was betrayed and then eventually to the cross? He observed the Lord's Supper, and then he took a basin, and he got down and he washed the feet of the disciples. You remember that story where Peter's like, you're not gonna wash my feet. He said, well, if you don't let me wash your feet, then you're none of me. Well, then wash me all. And, you know, come on, ding dong, you know. The Lord's like, shut up, Peter. Would you just listen to what I'm trying to teach you here? You don't need to be washed all over. That happened when you got saved. But your feet need to be washed every day. You know why? Because you walk through this stinking, dirty world. And I don't care if you're walking around trying to do good. There's still enough of the filth of the world that clings on that we just need that time of cleansing. And so I'll run these crazy back roads, and then eventually we'll take off to Terre Haute. And then I got this little sticker in my front windshield, and there it is. The crew, what's it called? Crew Card Wash.
Yeah, I got the sticker, folks. Some of you have to wait and be waited on, but I've got the sticker. I go over there with a magic arm, and then I look over at the ones that don't. Hey, how you doing? You know, I need it a lot. I need it a lot. And you know what? I'll go through that thing, and sometimes the truck's so dirty, they've got this guarantee. If you go through one time and you step out and it's not very clean, you can get back in line. They won't charge you, and you can go through it again. Come on, have you ever had to take two or three trips? Come on, folks. Sometimes we spend that time just letting God clean us. Come on, I'm talking about good people. I'm talking about people that are trying to do right. I'm talking about people that are out doing the will of God. There's just enough of the filth of this world. Or, you know, you look into the mirror of God's word and you think, oh, I'm a mess. I'm dirty. Folks, you know what's so precious about that time before the Lord? Is that it's a cleaning time. You know what? I wonder if you've not ever taken your soul to the car wash, what's it look like by now? We see, number one, it's a cleaning time. Watch this. Number two, when I lift up my soul, My way is made plain. My way is made plain. I love this because this is such a help to this preacher. You realize how important it is that I get the decisions right in my life? My life doesn't just affect me. It affects everybody in this room. By the way, it's important that you get the decisions right in your life because no man's an island. Every decision we make, every path we choose, look at verse 4 and 5. What happens when he lifts up his soul? He says this, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. All of a sudden, we're in a place where we can hear God. How about verse 5? Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day, no matter how long it takes, Lord. I'm staying here till I know which way you need me to go. How about verse number 12? What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease. How about that? And his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Listen, folks, while you lift up your soul and in the quietness of that encounter so many times, come on, folks, so many times, I don't know what to do, preacher. It's not a choice between obvious evil and obvious good. It is just, I don't know whether to go right or left here. Come on, parents, have you ever got that place where you, with your kids, where you're just ready to pull your hair out? And God, I don't know whether to hug them or kill them. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I'm going to tell you, this world and all of its nonsense and all of its foolishness, you know what? It can get you to a place where it's just like you're trying to think, but you're in a mental and spiritual fog. And it's like, Lord, I don't even know what to do today. I don't even know how to pray about this. And God says, why don't you lift up your soul? Why don't you lift up your soul? Well, Lord, I got all these things to do. Okay, well, then go do them. Or you could lift up your soul. And folks, I'm not saying that it's going to happen in the first 30 seconds. I'm not saying it's going to happen in the first 5 minutes, but it is amazing. If you will just, as a born-again Christian, listen, this is just as much available to the newest Christian in this room as it is to this preacher. Where you can just say, God, I don't even know enough about the Bible yet and about you yet to even know what I'm doing, except David said, and he lift up his soul so as much as I can with all of my mind, with all of my heart, surrendering all of my will. I just want to come to you. And it's amazing during those times how things that seem so complicated all of a sudden just begin to come crystal clear. Two things that were pulling you in two different directions, all of a sudden, watch this, you know which one to let go and you know which one to follow. And so there's these wonderful times, watch this, folks, where God just shows you his ways. I mean, all of a sudden, one path begins to glow neon bright, and the other one becomes very dark. It's so obvious. He said, if you'll lift up your soul, I'll show you my ways. If you'll lift up your soul, I'll teach you my paths. If you'll lift up your soul, I'll lead you into my truth. I'll teach you as you walk along. Which way to choose? When you know that you are in his ways, walking his path, following his truth, folks, there's that little phrase in there. Did you see it? He said, my soul shall dwell at ease.
When you know you are in his ways, walking his paths, following his truth, all of a sudden your soul begins to dwell in ease. And that's that peace that passeth all understanding where, you know what? I'm just not making a guess and hoping it turns out. I have the clear leading of God, and in the comfort and assurance of God's personal leading in my life, I can dwell at ease. Lord, I spent time in your presence. I got your clarity. I'm making this decision. I'm at peace. I'm at peace. Peace is the reward of lifting up your soul to the Lord. Obedience is God's way. To God's way also comes with some blessed rewards. And alive so much in this portion of scripture. He mentions the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. God will reveal, you said in the Sunday school lesson, God will reveal secrets to those who walk in his path and who will lift up their soul to him that no one else will ever get. The covenant of the Lord is revealed to those who follow him. A covenant is a sacred promise, a secret agreement. It's a private thing that God will promise to do for only for those who choose to walk in his path. These are the rewards of obedience. These are the favored position of the obedient believer. It's the reward of those who lift up their soul unto the Lord. Last one. When I lift up my soul, number three, my faith is restored. My faith is restored. Look at verse 16. By the way, notice the condition of the world around the psalmist when he read this. First of all, let me give you the darkness. Verse 16. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Verse 17, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Verse 18, look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Verse 19, consider mine enemies, for they are many. And they hate me with cruel hatred. Verse 20, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. This is the darkness that he's in. So what does he do? He lifts above the darkness into the light, into the presence of Almighty God. In the midst of apparent hopelessness, David lifts up his soul unto the Lord. By the way, now let's talk about the result. Look at verse 2 and 3. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that will wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed that transgress without cause. How about verse 8? Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. How about verse 15? Mine eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. How about 20 and 21? Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Preacher, haven't you seen the state of our country? Come on, preacher. Surely you've watched some Fox News this week. Have you seen the boldness of the wicked? Have you heard the threats being made against the righteous? Haven't you noticed, preacher, haven't you noticed the unapologetic attempt to brainwash the young adults into leftist, communist, Marxist, socialistic thinking? Preacher, haven't you seen the determined assault against decency and the determined effort of the perverts to reprogram and recruit our children into the sodomite lifestyle? Preacher, I feel like the devil's winning and God is losing. Yep. Yep. I've seen it all, noticed it all. And can I say this? Their attempts are duly noted. But my trust is in the Lord. And my trust is stronger than it's ever been before. My faith in the eventual outcome is undaunted despite their best efforts. My determination to stand for the Lord has never been more steadfast than it is today. Can I say this? Look right over here. My armor is on and my sword is sharp. I know something that the world doesn't know. We're going to win. We're going to triumph. We're going to prevail. Say, how do you know this? Because this week, I lifted my soul unto the Lord. And when I did that, my soul became clean. My path became clear. And my faith became strong. Are you confused? Are you discouraged? Preacher, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to believe anymore. We've been faced, folks, with some decisions we thought we'd never have to make. I don't even know what's right. I don't even know what's wrong. Well, maybe it's time just to lift your soul unto the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the psalmist. Thank you for this beautiful phrase, this little phrase that arrested my attention in the past week. Thank you for helping me to understand it. Thank you for helping me to experience it. Thank you for allowing me to come before the people and teach on it, but Lord, also to testify about it. And Lord, we need each other. There's going to be times when we need each other. This is why we have church. This is why we have the assembly. This is why these dear folks have a pastor. Well, Lord, help us in these days, these, yes, dark days, perilous times, last days. Help us not to forget about you. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help a Christian, a saved person, good heart, good intentions, wants to do right. Lord, but it's been too long. Too long before they turned, since they've turned everything off and just said, I'm going to lift my soul unto the Lord. Lord, if there's somebody here that's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, we pray they'd be saved today. That Christian that needs to spend some time at an altar this morning, reconnecting. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just do in our hearts exactly what you want to accomplish this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name.